Do you ever feel discontent or depleted? With the pace of life, we can easily find ourselves out of sync with our Heavenly Father. We may have all the right practices in place, yet lack soul satisfaction. How do we find rest, develop intimacy with God, and live satisfied? We will discover practical patterns Jesus models for us to live happy, healthy, and holy.
What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Starting a two-part series called Happy, Healthy, and Holy. We're going to be talking about kind of some soul things today and rest. And then next week, we're going to talk about the power of holiness. But if I were to ask you a question, this is a question that I often ask when I meet with staff members maybe or meeting with a friend of mine, is I tend to lean into the conversation a little bit and just simply ask, how's your soul doing? There's sometimes I've asked that question and boom, they just start crying. They get super emotional, or they just sit there and take a deep breath and they say, you know, thanks for asking. But if you were to ask yourself right now, what's the current status of your soul? Are you full? Are you empty? Are you tired? What's the status of your soul? What's taking place in your heart? You see, in John chapter, or 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, yes, there is a 3 John, by the way. It says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, what's something that's crucial to us to experience, whether it's joy or happiness or being healthy, is we need rest. Everybody say rest. Yes. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is one of those topics where as a preacher, you preach on, but yet you struggle with it. That's me. I struggle with the rest and the unwinding down and taking time off, things like that. But I struggle with that. And I know that's one of the things that's extremely important, though, for my soul to experience. Now, some of us would say, well, if I could just have a balanced life, if my life was just balanced, I would be healthier, I would be maybe even a little bit more happy, things won't be as crazy. If I just balance things out and just paid attention to certain things and just kind of allow things to be balanced in my life, there will be calmness in our home, right? Well, let me show you kind of what balanced would look like. Balance would look something like this, where your marriage is just right, the kids are behaving, right? Things are going well at work, and man, you're even serving at church. I mean, everything is just perfect, right? The kids were brushing their teeth and cleaning their room and doing their schoolwork, and right? Everything was just great. You're getting along with your spouse. Everything is just perfectly balanced. And you're like, well, I live this thing called life, and it's unpredictable, and nothing's ever balanced, right? And that's the reality, is we chase after this concept of being balanced, and we think if we can just balance things out in our life, I'll be a better Christian, I'll be happier, I'll even be even healthier. But see, this morning I'm talking about the power that's in our lives to surrender. You see, our soul is fulfilled by the presence of God. It is sustained by the presence of God. And that presence and his righteousness is what helps us remain in that. Our soul needs to be recognized, the fact that we need rest in our life. You know, in our house, I love music. I can't sing. I'm terrible. Only Jesus loves my worship. But I'm terrible at singing, but I love music. I've always loved music. Even when my wife was pregnant, she would come into a worship service, and she would have to walk out because Zane, being inside of her, he would start moving around. He's always loved music before he was even born. He was dancing in the womb, right? But we love music. But yet, have you ever thought of the idea of if you were to listen to sound that was balanced, what it would sound like? It would sound a little something like this. Right? Now, you don't want to be in the hospital and hear that sound, because some things are not in balance, right? But the idea of pursuing and leaning into this concept of chasing after balance, we're pursuing a false hope. And but yet, if we can just, if the summertime, when soon the summer gets here, things will calm down. If I can just get this deal at work, I'll be able to be home more. If I can just, once I get to this amount of income in our household, I'll start tithing and maybe even give to missions. We just kind of chase after this thing, but yet we find ourselves chasing after false hope. You see, balance is something that's really, it isn't going to happen in this life. And Jesus never taught about seeking after a balanced life. I love what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things would be given to you as well." You see, for years, I've tended to teach this leadership principle on the fact of, you know, problems can be solved and tensions have to be managed. There's some problems we can solve, and there's some things that they're just not going away. For example, in the church world, we're just never going to have enough volunteers. Like, it's just never going to happen. We always need more. That's the tension we have to manage. But there's a problem that we can solve. Maybe like, hey, the screen was wrong or the light didn't come on at the right time. You see, life is the same. It's a rhythm. Life is a rhythm and a tension that we manage. Because see, we don't want a balanced life where it's just that monotone. Like, it isn't going to happen. In order to have music, you need rhythm. You need to have a healthy rhythm in your walk with the Lord. You need to have a healthy rhythm in your life. When things are not in rhythm or in the right rhythm and you're chasing after this thing of, if I can just balance it out a little bit, things would get better. No, it's, what's the rhythm of life? For example, when I was a youth pastor and I would go to summer camp, I'm at camp the whole week. Well, I wasn't putting my family first that week because I was working and having to have the rhythm of summertime going to camp. Now, does that mean later on when I get back from camp, I'm gonna have a vacation week, spend time with my family? It's a rhythm of life. And we have these rhythms, but some of us, we get caught up in the chase and the busyness, and we don't realize that the thing that we're chasing after is really false hope, and it's hurting our soul. So how do we get this rest? How do we get this rest in our soul? What is something that we can do, or what should we do when it comes to rest in our soul? Well, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus came both full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and he was full of truth all at the same time. But there's times in our life where we need to lean into the grace, and there's sometimes in our life we need to hear the truth. And that's the tension that we have to live and balance in, and we allow the Holy Spirit to know which one we need in that time, because we find the rest. And that word rest means shalom, means peace. And that's where we find our rest and our peace and our joy. It's in him, not in anything in this world. So ask yourself, how's your soul doing? How are you feeling today? What rhythm are you in right now in life? What season are you in? Maybe there needs to be attention that's given to your soul. Or maybe you, mom, have been so busy doing everything for everybody else. Maybe you need to take some time to find rest in Jesus for yourself. Or maybe dad or business guy, you've been so busy trying to provide for your family at work. It might be time for you to lean into the grace and hear the truth of the fact that you need to rest in him and be present at home also. How is your soul doing? See, I love how he says, "I will give you. I will give you." You see, we tend to think, if I go on vacation, I'll find rest. How many of y'all, as most of us know, if you have kids, there's a trip that you go on with your kids, and then there's a vacation where you actually relax, right? there's definitely a different experience. And I know for me, when it comes to finding rest, I've heard this years ago, it was that if you work with your mind, you should Sabbath with your hands. If you work with your hands, you should Sabbath with your mind. So for me, yesterday, I was resting in Jesus while I was smoking some ribs. Amen. Yes, I was soul care yesterday, and I'm going to have some ribs this afternoon. I'm going to eat the rest of the rack, right? But for me, smoking ribs, and I know some of y'all think I'm kind of weird, and that's totally fine, but I actually like mowing the grass. Like, now granted, my yard's pretty small, so it doesn't take me very long, but I enjoy doing those things. See, for me, that's how I can find rest in my soul. Sometimes I have to do things practically in my life to be able to lean into the fact of, Jesus, I need you to give me rest. I need you to give me peace. Now, the stewardship of our soul is not selfishness, it's holiness. You want to be a better dad or a better mom or a better business guy or a better leader? Take care of your soul. It's a holy thing. But yet, this is something we don't really talk too much about in church. It's just pray harder, just read your Bible more, listen to worship music, come to church and serve somewhere, and you'll be okay. Yes, those things are good, but how are we taking care of our soul? I love this verse in Psalms 92. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Oh man, palm trees just gives you peace, right? When you think about palm trees and the ocean and beach. Anyways, they will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. See, the problem with some of us as Christians, we tend to look at ourselves and think of ourselves as we should be planted, or are we potted? Are we one that's in a pot, or are we someone that's planted in good soil? Someone's supposed to come out with the plant right now, and they're not coming out. There she is. Yay! Everybody's like, where's he going with this? You're doing great, man. Thank you. You did a great job in worship today, by the way. This is how some of us Christians look. We're potted. And we go, well, Pastor, it's raining over there. I think somewhere in the Bible says I should have rain. So I'm going to go over there, Pastor, and I'm going to serve over here. And then we get here. Well, we just love the rain. It's literally raining right now outside, right? We love the rain, but now it's starting to get hot. We don't like it. It's so hot over here. I think I should, I'm going to go in the shade. The Lord thinks, he just told me I need to be in the shade, so now I'm going to go over here. And we find ourselves living our lives in a pot, and yet we wonder why our soul is constantly in distress, because we're moving around, wrestling with things inside of us, and we're not planted. We're not putting down. It's the reason why we limit the growth we have in our lives by staying in our pot, but our pot is comfortable. I like my little white pot. I like my little, but you know what? Because when I don't like certain things, I'm just going to move and go somewhere else. But yet, he says if we're planted and our soul is planted in him, and then we will flourish. But I don't like that song, so I'm just going to go over there. I don't like that sermon series. I'm just going to move over here. Well, me and her aren't getting along no more, so I'm just going to take my pot and we're on our way. You see, and we wonder why our soul is in distress. It's because we're not rooted in him. We're not taking care of our soul in the right way, and maybe we find rest. As soon as I get on the vacation, I'll be able to relax. Soon as this season is over, I'll be able to, but yet life's about rhythm and tension and not chasing after the pursuit of balance, finding yourself chasing after a false hope. He's telling us we got to be planted, because when we're planted and we're in the ground like we should be, well, all right, Lord, you called me to be here. This is my purpose. This is my calling. So despite the storm, despite the wind, despite the rain, I'm not moving. because I'm planted and I'm rooted here. So some days it will be hot. Some days the rhythm of life is going to be not so good. Some days it's going to be beautiful out. You'll be able to enjoy life and be able to enjoy your family, and you'll be able to find rest for your soul if you remain planted and not just grab your pot and move away and walk away and run from different things or chase after things, instead of saying, I'm going to lean into Jesus and find rest for my soul because he's the one that gives me the rest that I'm pursuing. Can't just pick up and move when little discomfort happens in life. Well, if I just get here, then I'll feel better. And we don't make decisions based upon our emotions. We make decisions based upon biblical principles. Amen? Amen. And sometimes our soul needs to be tended to, needs to be taken care of. Some of the content I'm using this morning is out of a book by Dallas Willard called Renovation of the Heart. Encourage you to read it. It's a great book. But he kind of breaks down the soul in a few layers. And so, for example, the first layer he breaks it down as it's your heart. The Bible talks about that the heart is the wellspring of life. And it's this idea that it's your will, it's your desires, it's your spirit. It's kind of the inner being of the essence of who you are, right? And so he talks about your heart. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that the will of God for your life is better than the will that you have for yourself? Because sometimes we think our will is better. I think God got it wrong on this one, right? So I'm just gonna get my pot. I'm gonna move on down to another green pasture, right? But it's talking about this first layer being your heart, your will, your spirit. This next layer is your mind. It's your thoughts. It's your feelings. Proverbs talks about, as a man thinketh, so is he. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our thoughts play a role. Our feelings play a role in our soul. Our self-talk that you have plays a role in the health of your soul. You see, understanding the power of our thoughts, how it can impact literally our being of who we are. You move towards, your life moves towards the thoughts that you have in your mind. So there's the layer of the heart with the will and the spirit. Then there's obviously the layer of our mind. And then there's another layer. It's our physical body, the appetites, the habits that we have. I love bread, guys. I love it. I love me some bread. I love carbs, right? Why can't carbs be healthy for you, Lord? I think you messed up on that one. No, I'm just kidding. But there's things that we can do to our physical body that will impact the health of our soul. How are we dealing with some of those things? Maybe there's things in our body that need attention. There's certain things that we need to seek medical help for. But our body plays a role as a layer of our soul. And when you put all these things together, our relationships. Now, what do you mean by relationships? Those influences that you have around you, they play a role into your soul care. Well, I think you should leave him anyways. You deserve better than him. Those relationships can play a role in how your soul is doing. Even going back, there's a book I took my team through years ago called Emotionally Healthy Leader. And one of the things it did is it helped you dig into your family's past and learn about some things. And then you begin to realize, oh, now that makes sense. Because even kind of your history and your family and some of those things that take place, now it doesn't have to determine and dictate who you are, but it may help you understand some of the things about yourself. And so our relationships, our body, our thoughts, our heart, our will and spirit, all of these layers play a role in the soul health of who you are and as a being. Now, there might be some times in life where the rhythm of the fact, hey, you know what? I need to focus on taking care of my physical body right now. Or maybe there's some part of, you know what? There's some relationships in my life that I need to no longer have because it's affecting the health of my soul. Maybe there's some things that you know what? I just keep running these thoughts through my mind and I just can't get them out. I need to focus on my thought life and my prayer life. And if I can begin to have healthier thoughts and begin to think in a better way, in a healthier way, now my soul will become healthier. But all of these things come together as you and your health of where you're at. But I just want to move my pot. I don't want to have to deal with it. No, when you're planted and you're rooted in something, no matter what's happening, you're going to stay with it. You're going to stay in the fight. You're going to stay in whatever it is that you God's asking you to fulfill. Because you're going to stay rooted. You're not going to just get up and try to run from it. You're not going to pursue this false balanced life that you know is not going to happen. You're going to stay rooted in it. And you're going to stay planted. So where's your... Maybe there's something you're seeing up on the screen that you go, you know what? That is definitely something I probably need to focus on. Our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important for us to take care of our health. I struggle to fall asleep. Sleeping for a long period of time isn't something that I can do just naturally. If I don't stay on a consistent running in my life and exercising, I struggle to fall asleep. Well, I know for my body, despite the fact how much I love bread, and I love me some French fries, and I love me some ribs. I can't eat that stuff all the time, but it's so good. It's like soul care, Jesus, right? No, but the idea is sometimes you got to change your habits. Maybe you got to change the appetite that you have for certain things and desire that you have for certain things in order for us to be healthy, in order for us to experience true joy. Yes, we got to lean into Jesus and allow him to give us that rest that we're longing for and that we need, that we should have. And then there's the practical spiritual transformation of focusing on the health of your soul and focusing on these layers. We experience God's will for our lives when we obey God's way. We want to experience God in the fullness, and we want to experience a life of abundance and be healthy at the same time. Here's the reality of it is, Dad, your kids need you. Mom, your kids need you to be healthy. Spouse, your marriage needs you to be healthy. But are you taking care of it? Are you allowing your soul to lean into Jesus and experience that peace and that rest that you need? Or are you just, I just got to make it through today, lay your head down at night, you get back up, and you chase after it again? You guys ever heard of dog and cat theology? Dog theology is, you take care of me, you feed me, you must be God. Cat theology says, you feed me, you take care of me, I must be God. Right? That's why I'm a dog person. Sorry for all you cat people. They just bother me. Anyways, I don't want to offend nobody. You probably already did. Let me just keep moving on. I don't want to talk about your pets, get you all upset. But there was a puppy. He would get up every day, and he would chase his tail. He just chased his tail the whole time, just chasing his tail. I'm getting dizzy. He's just chasing his tail. And this old dog would just watch this puppy every day, just chasing his tail, just chasing, constantly, just chasing his tail, trying to get it. Finally, the old dog walked up to the puppy and said, why are you chasing your tail? And he says, because my tail is happy and it has joy. And if I can just catch it, I'll be happy. And the old dog said, yeah, I used to do that too. I used to chase it and chase it and chase it and chase it. And finally, I just said, enough. I'm done with chasing my tail and chasing after happiness and joy. I'm just going to listen to the master. Master tells me to sit, I'm going to sit. He tells me to lay down, I'm going to lay down. He tells me to fetch, I'm going to go fetch. And then I realized one day when I was following the master, I looked back and I saw that happiness and joy was following me. You see, sometimes we're chasing after things. And it's just a false hope. We're chasing after things that aren't going to bring fulfillment. I don't know why God has me fetching this stick over and over again. But he told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Because I know my joy and my peace and my rest is going to be in him. So I'm going to obey the master. Some of y'all can even think about it right now. Just there was a season of your life where you were just chasing, chasing, chasing. Your soul was exhausted. There was tension in your relationships. Your physical body was literally getting sick because of what was happening in your soul. But I don't want to sit, Lord. Be still and know. I want to move. I want to run away from this. Stay planted, and I'll bring you fruit. Just chasing and chasing. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And he realized that happiness and joy was following him. Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on, he plants me in green pasture, leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, will you stand to your feet? Allow your worship. Allow him to restore your soul. Allow him to minister to your spirit this morning. Father, we lean into you. Give us rest today. Give us peace today. Come on, let's worship him today.
Let's sing this out. I sought the Lord and he answered us.
Hallway from my office coming down the sanctuary, and I heard them singing this song. And what Seth didn't know was Friday I was like having church with this song. I was loving it. I was like, oh, I should have told Seth to do this song this week. And then I come down the hallway and they're singing it, and I say that to say that someone needs to know and hear today what you've been singing, and God's trying to get that message to you. Trust in him. Seek him. He's going to give you an answer. May not like it, but he's going to give you an answer. But we need to trust him. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet we forfeit our soul?